Our reading for Thursday, March 26th, is starting in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for the purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.' The next day again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God!' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'So you are Simon the son of John? You should be called Cephas,' which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' Jesus answered him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered him, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered him, 'Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" I'm going to stop here for our reading today, having finished chapter 1, and make a few comments for you to think about as you try to keep your spiritual focus during this time. When in verse 29 it is stated that John saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," any Jew that would have been hearing this particular statement would have understood the implication of calling him the Lamb of God. Remember that under their sacrificial system, that the Lamb would have been the sacrifice, the one that was sacrificed in order to allow them to take advantage of forgiveness of sins. And so him making this statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God," they would have looked at Jesus and saw that John was saying that he was going to bring about forgiveness of sins. And this would have been, of course, the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the Christ. And then in verse 30, John expands upon this. Remember, yesterday we read that people were questioning John the Baptist up in verse 19, saying, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm not the Christ." And they said, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He says, "No." "Are you the prophet?" He says, "No." And they say, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer." And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." So he appeals to prophecy about the role that he is fulfilling. And they continue to ask him, you know, "Why are you baptizing? If you're not Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not the prophet." And he says in verse 26, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." So verse 29 tells us that this is just the next day. So I make an assumption that the crowd is the same. Maybe they stayed out there with him. Maybe they came back the next day. But he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then verse 30, "This is he of whom I said," referring back to that conversation we have in verse, ending in verse 28. So he makes this statement, and it's a bold statement for them to change their thinking over from the blood of lambs, bulls, goats, you know, different animals, to a sacrifice that he points to, and it's a man walking on this earth. That's quite a change. And we know through previous studies of the Gospels that sometimes they didn't quite get the nuances. They didn't get some of the implied meanings and didn't make some of the connections that they needed to make. It's unclear whether they understand here or not this implication, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But they would be able to look back at this and see this after the church is established, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and the apostles are saying, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." Then they would begin to understand these things. So even if they don't understand it at this time, John is recording it. The apostles would have been able to talk about it. John would have planted the seeds for them to remember later on and help them to understand and believe. Of course, verse 32, "John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." You might look over at Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3 for some expanded accounts on those cases. John didn't record a whole lot here. Verse 33, "He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom the Spirit descends and remains, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So that would have that same kind of implication, pointing to the prophecies, pointing to something truly incredible that is coming into the world or has come into the world. And so now he's making this statement, "I have borne witness, this is the Son of God." So quite a bit being stated in just a few verses, and John doesn't spend a lot of time on it. He spends just enough time to set those seeds in place that will allow faith to grow, and then moves on. We get into verse 35, and Jesus begins calling his disciples. I think it's very interesting there in verse 35 when it says, "The next day again," so another day has gone by, "John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walks by and says, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" The same thing he said before. The two disciples hear this, and they follow Jesus. I'm not sure if they've been there for the two previous days, and it has taken, you know, this again saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," for it to sort of sink in and them say, "Okay, it's time for us to go with Jesus," or if maybe they haven't somehow heard those things. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do think that it's important that all John has to do is make this statement here again, and these disciples go with him. Jesus in verse 38 says, "What are you seeking?" That's an important question. When we're thinking about belief in Jesus, sometimes people come to Jesus seeking something other than truth, seeking something other than the light that comes from God, because that light is going to illuminate every amount of sin that is in their life. That is the purpose of light, is to chase away the darkness, to chase away the shadow. And so if they're coming for some ulterior motive, if they're coming for some other reason, then it's not going to work out as they intend. And people do that today. They come seeking Jesus because they think that it's going to make their life on earth better in some way. They might follow some false idea that makes them think that they're going to have wealth, or they're going to have success, or they're going to have worldly happiness because they follow Jesus. So they may have some motives that aren't true. It's very important that when we are building our faith in Jesus, that we are building a faith in Jesus upon His Word and upon that truth that He brings, and that we welcome the light of that truth into our lives to chase away the darkness of sin. We need to welcome that happening in our lives. He begins to describe that verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, said, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. We don't have his response to that statement, but it says he brings him to Jesus. So he apparently willingly comes along as well. And Jesus looks at him and says, "So you're Simon, the son of John? You should be called Cephas," which means Peter. And, of course, we talk of Peter quite a bit. He's a prominent person within the Gospels, partly because he tended to be one of those guys that spoke what was on his mind and sometimes didn't allow his thoughts to be filtered before they came out. And we likewise make that mistake quite often. Then he calls Philip and Nathanael. Again, it says the next day. So you have a pretty quick sequence of days here. Found Philip, said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael, says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip makes a different statement. They've been talking about the Lamb of God and saying, "We found the Christ." But here he says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Now, the implication is the same. That is who the Moses in the law and the prophets were writing of, the Christ. But he just states this a little bit differently. Maybe because he knows Nathanael, and maybe Nathanael knows the writings and the prophets quite well, and so he phrases it differently. I'm not sure. But his response in verse 46, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It's a pretty cynical point of view to make that statement. Philip just says, "Come and see." I think that's important for us to notice, too. You're going to encounter people that you talk about Jesus, you talk about your faith, you talk about God being in control, and they might be cynical, they might be skeptical. And instead of trying to, out of your own account, convince someone, we can do the same thing that he does here and just say, "Come and see. Come investigate for yourself. Don't take my word about it. Come see for yourself." And that's probably one of the best things we can do, is just invite someone to investigate for themselves and make up their own mind. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." We don't have anything showing that Jesus has met Nathanael before. In fact, based on Nathanael's response, I would say it's highly unlikely that they've come into contact before. However, Jesus knows him. Look at this guy coming. I know all about him. An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Or maybe your version says there is no guile. And so Nathanael says, "How do you know me? How would you know anything about me? How would you know whether I'm honest or not, whether I'm a good person or not, whether I'm an upstanding Jew or not?" That's what he's asking. Jesus says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I don't know how far they've traveled. I don't know how far away Nathanael was. But I think that we can safely read between the lines here and understand from the account that we're not talking about a short enough distance that Jesus could look off and see a fig tree and see a man under it and assume that was him. No, he was far enough away that there's no way that Jesus physically, just like any other person, would have saw him under a fig tree. No, this is a supernatural event. "I saw you." That's how he knows him. So he is pointing to his deity, and Nathanael understands that because his immediate response is, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael is saying, "You are the one that the Moses that wrote in the law and the prophets wrote about. You are the Christ." So he is making a confession off of, what, a couple of minutes that he spent with Jesus, and he's already convinced. So he has gone from cynical, he has gone from skeptical, he's being told, come and see, and his first reaction within just a short interaction is, I know who you are. You know me, but I know you too, because the prophets have been writing about you. I've been studying about you. We need to do the same thing. We need to look for Jesus in the Old Testament so that we can see him in the New Testament through that lens of the tutor to bring us to Christ that the Old Testament is, and we can be like Nathaniel and recognize him from the Old Testament. So in our Sunday morning class, we've been working our way through the Old Testament and studying through those things. We've talked about looking for Jesus within those readings. So we can connect those two things together and see him well. So as you're continuing to do those readings, and when we're able to gather again and continue that class, you'll be able to make some of these connections even stronger. But Jesus says in verse 50, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. They're just getting started. Think of all the things to come, the feeding of thousands of people, the healing of many, many people, the lepers that get that leprosy taken away in an instant, the man that is born blind that is able to then see, the one who is lame that can jump up and walk and be independent and live a normal life. All of these things he's going to see, but even those things are going to pale in comparison to the role of Jesus the Christ, the role of being the Lamb of God. That is going to be the ultimate for him to see. And so then verse 51 ties up our reading. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And of course, we can recognize that language being very similar to what we see with what we term Jacob's ladder, which we did speak about in that Sunday morning class when Brother Robert was teaching. So these are some very important things for us to recognize in John chapter 1, and I hope that they are encouraging to you. I continue to pray for you all. I continue to think of all of you, and I encourage you to continue in prayer. Hold on to your faith. Do not waver in this time of trial, but realize that all these things shall pass. And if for some reason they did not, we have it, the hope of heaven as children of God. If I or any of the other elders can do anything for you in praying for you or helping you, especially in spiritual matters, please reach out to us and we will do what we can for you. We will pray for you, and we hope that you will stay in contact. Thank you, and please come back tomorrow for another reading beginning in John chapter 2.